A new arrival to the tech landscape here in Chattanooga is a digital agency, the firm Viget, which specializes in branding, designing, and building software products and programs, chose to locate its newest office in Chattanooga in Hamilton County with plans to hire. Brian Williams is co-founder and CEO of Viget, that's V-I-G-E-T, and Zach Robbins is director of business development. Brian, Zach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And welcome to Chattanooga.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Tell us more about what brought your company here.
Viget's been around for 20 years now. We started out in Washington, D.C. That's basically the area where I grew up. And we've always had a vision about expanding geographically. We're about 80 people now. We have a small kind of company culture. And as we got to be about 25 people in D.C. 15 years ago or so, we saw a need to expand to a remote location. So we started with Durham, North Carolina, 2006, 2007. Then in 2010, we went to Boulder, Colorado. And then as we got to be 65, 75 people here, it came to be time to look for another office location. And as we looked around, one of the things that popped up was Chattanooga. One of the things we really like about this city is the combination of many of the benefits we see in Boulder, outdoor lifestyle, lots of activities to do that have nothing to do with work day to day, combined with some of the things we see in Durham, North Carolina. So the kind of resurging downtown and lower cost of living and lots of the sort of benefits of a once proud city kind of coming back is a story we like to be a part of. That was one of the things that got us on the list.
And of course, the gig.
The gig, you know, we are a technology company, so fast internet is definitely a requirement. So that was some kind of a macro level from a business perspective. But anytime we look at a local office, we don't just kind of plop in and hire people locally. We always have to move somebody in from one of our other locations. And so Zach's kind of history with Chattanooga was certainly part of that.
I actually graduated from Covenant, and that was part of how I first experienced Chattanooga, and my wife's family is still in the area. And so we would come back to Chattanooga for holidays and family stuff. So I have seen the ways that Chattanooga has changed in the past 10 to 15 years. And part of that was the gig kind of serving as the center of the city's reemergence, and especially in technology and attracting startups to the area and attracting more talent and a larger, thriving, and more innovative business community. So I had never really experienced the business community until we started investigating the possibility of opening an office here. And one of the key factors in the decision was how open and collaborative the city is in connecting people and putting Chattanooga on the map more collaboratively. And that felt very true to our values, which were very much about sharing what we know with our industry and with our clients and with our peers. Our mission is to make the web a better place, and certainly coming to a city that not only has the internet as a part of its story, but also is collaborative in nature and trying to make Chattanooga great together was a big part of what attracted us here. Compared to other cities that were a little bit more competitive or closed off in nature, it would have felt harder to get plugged in. And here, one conversation led to five introductions, which led to 15 more, and so on and so forth. And here we are.
Tell us more about Viget's work and how it fits into the tech world.
We're a digital agency, and we are essentially a hybrid between a software development company and a digital marketing shop. As a digital agency, we help clients brand, design, and build digital products as well as marketing platforms. So we're a consultancy. And so that's actually one of the things that people ask about our strategy for opening remote offices away from our headquarters outside of DC. We are able to service clients anywhere in the country. In fact, more than half of our clients exist where we don't have an office. So we do a lot of work in Chicago and San Francisco and New York, Boston, so forth. And our philosophy has always been the best clients, the clients that we really want to work with, care most about the talent of the team that's going to be working on those projects, not so much where they are. And so having folks that are able to contribute to projects working remotely from US-based locations like Chattanooga works very well. So it's all about where can we recruit and retain the best talent. And so philosophically, we view Chattanooga as a great place for that. We'd love to have local clients. Certainly, we believe that will happen over time, but the focus is really more about talent than finding the clients here locally. So in terms of services and the internet being really important to that, we've believed for 20 years that the internet would revolutionize not only business, but humanity at large. We wanted to participate in that. So bringing together design talent with engineering talent, it was our kind of original vision, and that's expanded over the years in areas of things like user research and data analytics, you know, DevOps. There's just a ton of ways a business like ours has to evolve to basically keep up with market demand and the sophistication of some of the projects that we work on. And now we really think of ourselves as one of the premier shops in the country, able to deliver a complicated, well-designed software solutions for clients ranging from major international nonprofits like the World Wildlife Fund to big media companies like ESPN or NBC Sports, and then lots of startups you have never heard of, but that went on to either be profitable independently or acquired by some of the big tech companies out in the Bay Area. So we love working with a wide variety of clients. That's part of what helps us attract and retain great talent is that variety of work. But it's all centered around digital, so having fast internet connections, very important. Well done, Chattanooga.
Give us an example that most people might recognize but not realize that it's Viget's work.
Probably a relevant example is worldwildlife.org. That is a site that we designed and developed actually 7 years ago. We launched it October 2012, but it is still the same code base and same software that powers the site, as well as the design in its core is in large part the same. And that was a great project from a lot of disciplines and services at Viget kind of combining for a great experience for the end user. And the story there is WWF, like many organizations, tend to provide and present content in a digital format in a way that reflects their organizational structure and the way that they administer their work, but not necessarily in the way that you or I might want to engage with that content or with that brand or business or that piece of software. And so our process of user-driven design and research behind all of our work, whether it's a set of features for a product or an application or the way that you want to interact with different content on a website. A good example from that was we did a combination of research and testing on how to organize WWF's content on their new site. And one of those research practices were in a card sort exercise, which is I basically give you 50 cards. And in this case, it was all of species that WWF seeks to protect and ask you to organize them as you see fit. So I don't force an organization structure upon you. You choose that for yourself. And then we draw a correlation from that in terms of how many people correlate certain species with each other. And what we found, which was our hypothesis, is that scientific genome, while it has a lot to do with the way that WWF thinks about species, has nothing to do with the way that you or I think about species, which was their target audience, which was their donor. They see an elephant and a rhino, and they see big gray animal, and to a scientist, they know that they are very separate species and might categorize them on the site differently because they're scientifically different, but the way that users might want to interact with that is different. So then we also tested the new organization structure with a tool called TreeJack, which tested for success and failure rates on what we designed as an organization structure compared to what they previously had. And that was helpful in the process of making sure we had everything right and tweaked before we actually went live with the site. And in doing so, increased their revenue per donation significantly after launch. That's more on the kind of marketing platform side of what we do, but is potentially a more recognizable experience that people may have interacted with personally.
And with your company, the size that it is, how do you navigate, how do you see the challenges, the debates when it comes to digital these days, whether we're talking about big tech, we're talking about privacy, we're talking about cyber, how does Viget fall into all of that?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about a lot internally. Because when we started, tech was new, internet tech was new, and I think we were viewed as sort of a cutting edge, kind of emerging services company. And then there was sort of the glory days of tech, and everybody loved to be working in tech and idolizing the big tech companies. And over the last few years, a lot of that mindset has shifted. We have always believed at Viget that technology can be good for humanity. We label ourselves as tech optimists. I had a engineering class back in Virginia and ethics and engineering, and the common question around ethical challenges or situations where technology has had a negative effect on humanity, the question was always, should we roll back that technology or should we push forward and implement newer, more advanced versions of that technology that will address those problems? And I was always on the tech optimist side. My personal view is, we are in a period of time where the problems that come up from the application of technology on a grand scale are being revealed. And we're finding those around privacy and data protections and all kinds of things. And the answer to me is not to cut off those advancements in technology. I think we can't forget all the great things that are happening thanks to technology in terms of healthcare or information sharing, education. There's all kinds of areas, environmental nonprofits, where a big space of ours. There's huge positives that are coming from the application of internet technologies, but there's also a lot of downsides. And so we try to foster internally a lot of discussion around things like tech ethics. How can we help our clients understand some of these challenges that can be kind of nuanced and not obvious initially? And so we view that as a responsibility of our team from a consulting standpoint to help our clients understand those problems, to deal with them effectively, not just, you know, sort of legal issues around things like GDPR, but even unintended consequences of the application of their technology that we're helping to provide. So it's interesting because I think there's details of things that 5 years ago you wouldn't even think of that now, you know, you really have to take into account to the software that you're building.
Yeah, and I'd say a key part of our process is asking hard questions. And that's both from in the context of conducting discovery, whether that's about your users or about your business or about the technology infrastructure that we're proposing or about the ethics of what we're doing, whether it's internally or externally with our clients. And so we're not yes people in the sense that we say to our clients, just give us a list of requirements and we'll go about and design and develop. We're kind of overkill for that from a consultant perspective. We are going to come in and ask a bunch of questions in order to figure out where we're at, where we're going, and how we're going to help you get there. And part of the questions that we ask are, how are you treating or using your data? How are you storing it? Things like that. And then we also ask that of ourselves internally, how we approach hard subjects that are just emerging that we've never really thought about the use case for. And we're having those conversations, hopefully, before we have them with a client, with ourselves, which helps us have that conversation better with clients.
Social media is one of those conversations now, and it was just emerging a dozen years ago.
Yeah, the social connections that the internet has provided, I think, have gone through an evolution to where they can be manipulated. People are realizing now that they're so widely adopted that those manipulations can be very valuable from a business perspective, and certainly from things outside of business, you know, being from DC, obviously the politics and all that sort of stuff, it can be pretty eye-opening what's possible there. And pretty challenging to imagine what the solutions are. I don't think there's easy solutions to some of these problems. Twitter announced that they weren't going to take any politically based advertisements. That's a huge financial decision that they're making. There's things like that that some of these massive platforms can make. But there's a very few number of huge companies like that that have that level of influence. So I think the practical application of ethical questions across the broader internet and a lot of our clients are more around things like accessibility, for example, which is an area that we focus a lot on. You know, Zach mentioned our mission is to build a better web, and we've sort of added to that over the years, build a better web for everyone. We do a lot of work to make sure that our client work is accessible, sometimes based on legal demands, but sometimes based on just being the right thing to do. Our core values, which we defined years ago, the first one is be good, hire ethical people, people of high integrity. So the whole company is filled with folks that think about these things and value these things, and honestly wouldn't work at a company that doesn't take those types of things into account. So I think it puts us in a good position to help our clients make good decisions, but it's something that I think you got to continue to have open discussions about within your company. And that's something that we're certainly focused on for years to come.
One thing that your company offers is apprenticeships.
Our philosophy has always been to give back, as Zach mentioned again. So as much as we can, we share our knowledge through writing blog articles or speaking at conferences, contributing to open source software projects. We've done that for years. And years ago, we started to develop a summer internship program, 10 to 12 weeks for college students. And we found that to be a fantastic way to get new energy into the company and fresh ideas, and obviously help these interns gain some professional experience, but also just the sense of community that brought. So we wanted to try to figure out how to expand the benefits of the internship program beyond just summer college students. And so the apprenticeship program kind of grew out of that. So it's a 10-week program. We do two cohorts a year. Typically, there's anywhere from 3 to 6 apprentices at a time. The apprentices are doing as much as possible work with clients, so typically not billing clients, but shadowing the team members that are. And so they get real hands-on experience in running projects or writing software, or designing products, all the things that we do, they're exposed to that. And I think just as importantly, they're exposed to the way the company operates, weekly staff meetings, quarterly retreats, how we handle performance reviews, how we approach people management, all the things that we've learned over 20 years, they are exposed to that. And it's, again, allowed us to bring in just some amazing people, personalities and folks that we wouldn't have had a chance to work with otherwise. Often career changers, people who are looking to get into tech, who have interest but no direct experience, maybe studied something different in college and realized later in their career that they wanted to get into creative tech. And so it's been fantastic. Our goal is to hire 50% of them, the apprentices that come through. So it's definitely a funnel for our recruiting channels, but it's also a way to build our network of people that have worked at Viget in some capacity. So they become part of our alumni group. which is an amazing group of folks as well. So we've been really proud of that effort. I think it's a classic win-win. The business definitely benefits, but I think it's also got great community benefits as well.
And while they're in the program, they're paid.
They're paid, yep. It's not a ton. I think it's a $6,000 payment for the 10 weeks. So the intent was to keep it at a budget level where we could support it, knowing that for the most part, they're not going to be generating any direct revenue. So there's not a lot of financial upside directly in the short term for the business. So to make it sustainable in the long run, we want to make sure that that's a balanced amount, but enough that it's palatable for folks. And what's been, again, rewarding to us is we've had people go through code schools where they've paid thousands, if not $10,000 or more for a code school experience. Then they've come to our apprenticeship program where we've paid them, and they've said how they've learned more in that apprenticeship program than they did in a code school. And it's not a knock on code schools. I think they provide a great service as well, but I think it's a good indication of, the win-win we're trying to create there.
Another reason or serendipitous intersection of Chattanooga and Viget's history is Center being here in Chattanooga and being one of the first schools of its kind, and specifically in our industry, in our space, led by someone that we have known for a long time, Jared Spool, and deciding to put Center's roots down here in Chattanooga with a new model of learning. And their model of learning is get students and apprentices or people coming through the program doing the work as much as possible. And that's how we've modeled our internship and apprenticeship program after, and really provides an opportunity for people that have wanted to get into technology and into our industry, but it's very hard to navigate later in someone's career. And so this is more of a stepping stone for those folks. And many of the folks that we've hired out of our apprenticeship program have been career switchers, worked at the government or other places entirely or other industries entirely, but had an interest in it and showed a lot of promise, and they've been great.
Where are you located now? And as you hire your staff here in Chattanooga, where will you be located beyond that?
We're a very organic growth company, so we're never necessarily either hiring ahead of the work that we have people to do or having a ton of work that people can't do and figuring out and scrambling how to do that work. The same goes also for kind of our office space decisions. So something that's different now that wasn't true when we opened Boulder and Durham is the emergence of co-working space. That didn't exist then, does now. And so we're actually in Society of Work in the Edney on the sixth floor, which is a great spot to be in the sense of getting plugged into the community. And that's been a great way to just get plugged in, as well as a very flexible way to get started. The other person here for Viget, Kurt, who's one of our senior UX designers, they moved here in the summer. And we basically got started on a Monday after we decided, let's go ahead and have a quote office here. And we had desk space the next morning and we were up and running, and there was no friction to that. We didn't have to go source through a broker and find a lease and then figure out how big we were going to be at some point and how much square footage we would need. So that's kind of our landing spot for now. And then based on how quickly we find good candidates and hire people, then we'd probably look to kind of sublet a smaller space. We've looked at spaces in Loveman's, which is a great spot, especially Lamppost Properties has done a great job renovating a lot of downtown buildings like the co-op and others that could be good landing spots for us temporarily. And then we'd probably grow to kind of the size of one of our offices in Durham or Boulder in terms of square footage and lease opportunity and in terms of number of employees, which is around 25.
And where can people go online to find out more about Viget?
Viget.com, V-I-G-E-T.com. We have a careers section there. So folks that are interested in applying, there's a lot of information on that site. And you kind of get a feel for our culture, lots of links to our social channels, and all positive, ethical, social sharing from a Viget perspective. But yeah, we'd love to meet folks. When I first came to Chattanooga probably 20 years ago, driving through on a cross-country drive, it was easy to drive through quickly, but coming back, we just felt so welcomed by Mayor Burke and by the Chamber of Commerce and the business community here. So my sense is there's a lot of really good folks in town here. We're not trying to build a factory and hire 1,000 people. It's really going to be a special group. And I think that I'm looking forward to visiting over the coming years and meeting more and more folks that create a good nucleus of an office here. So I'm excited to meet those folks.
All right. Brian, Zach, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks. It's great being here.